Welcome to the AquariMax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics. This is Episode 7, recorded March 12, 2009. Well, we'd all like to welcome you today to the AquariMax Audio Show. We're going to talk about two of my favorite amphibians, African clawed frogs and African dwarf frogs.
Oh, these are so cute. Okay, first of all, tell us what's the difference between these two frogs.
Okay, that is a very good question, because many times you'll walk into a pet store and find that they are mislabeled. And that can be a very big issue later on. When they're little froglets, it might not seem such an issue, but later when they are older, there's a very big difference in their requirements and what you can comfortably house them with, and so on. So let's get down to the easiest way to tell them apart. This is to look at the digits on their forelimbs, or their fingers, if you want to call them that, on their hands. The African dwarf frogs have webbing all over their hands. Their fingers are webbed, whereas the African clawed frogs do not have any webbing. That's the main difference, the easiest one to tell.
Why don't they have webbing? Since they're aquatic frogs.
That's a good question. I'm not sure, really.
They're just
why that is, but yeah, they do have a difference there. Some of the frogs seem to use their hands more as a tactile organ, and in the case of the African clawed frogs, this is just supposition on my part, but they do tend to use their hands more as a tactile organ, and maybe that's why they don't have the webbing.
Less for swimming?
Yeah, less for swimming and more just to feel around.
Interesting.
As they're hunting for food and so on. Well, that's the easiest difference. There are others. An African dwarf frog, it has eyes kind of more on the sides of its head, whereas the African clawed frog has them more oriented towards the top, looking up a little bit more. The African dwarf frog has a pointier head as well. And
like at the snout or on the top?
The snout. Or? Yeah, the snout is more pointed in the African dwarf frog and more rounded in the African clawed frog. The legs are decidedly thicker and more robust in the African clawed frog.
Because they grow to be bigger.
They do grow to be bigger, but even if you were to take two of the same size, you could tell that the legs are decidedly thicker in African clawed frog. The belly of an African clawed frog is also white, or whitish, a very light color, where an African dwarf frog tends to have a color that's maybe a little lighter than the dorsal surface, but not as light. The skin is quite a bit bumpier on an African dwarf frog as well. I mean, there are all kinds of differences, but basically, look at the hands. If they're webbed, you've got an African dwarf frog. That's the easiest way to tell.
Okay. What kind of pet owners are these a good match for, these two different frogs?
Well, I would say just about anybody. From beginner to adult can keep them as long as they're careful about the requirements, but an African dwarf frog is a little less hardy than an African clawed frog. African dwarf frogs generally need heated tanks. African dwarf frogs need heated tanks. African clawed frogs don't necessarily need a heated tank unless you're in a very cool room. They're fine into the mid to upper 60s and really shouldn't go up into the 80s, you know, they're comfortable at basically
the
African clawed frogs, yes, are comfortable at temperatures that we're comfortable with, basically room temperatures. They're fine. So, people who want maybe an easier pet in that sense, not having to worry about heating, could go for the African clawed frogs. Differences in personality and other things also make a difference in what you want, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but basically, anybody who's interested in frogs, I mean, these are rare among frogs, both species, in that they can be kept in an entirely aquatic habitat.
They don't need anything to crawl up on. So it's easier to set up a tank than for something that needed also some terrestrial surface.
Right. It's much easier than many other species of frogs as far as that goes, because you can use an aquarium and just keep it full of water and do water changes like you would for a fish tank, and you're fine. We'll talk a little bit more about housing later too. But of course, one thing you'll need to keep in mind is that African clawed frogs do get a lot larger and will need larger quarters than African dwarf frogs.
How big do they get full grown?
Well, some of the wild caught ones that I've seen are huge. They're as big as my hand.
So just the body or with the legs stretched out too?
With the legs stretched out, if I were to sit one on top of my hands with its snout at the tip of my fingers, its legs would probably come off the back of my hand.
Okay.
I mean, some of the larger wild-caught ones are really large. In a captive situation, they generally do not grow that large. But they're still pretty big.
Is that just because they aren't usually in a tank that they have enough space to get that big? Or is it a different diet? Or?
I think there's probably a combination of several factors, including genetics, including environment, all kinds of things. But they still get to a respectable size in a captive situation. The biggest one I've ever had, probably snout to vent length, was over 3 inches long. It was a female. The females tend to get a little larger than the males. This is, of course, the African clawed frogs. The largest male I ever had might have been 2.5 inches long from snout to vent. And the African dwarf frogs, of course,
are much smaller.
Probably the biggest one I've ever had is maybe 2 inches from snout to vent, and a lot less massive than the African clawed frog. They're just much, much smaller.
Okay. Okay, so tell us, we started talking about this, tell us some more about housing for these two different kinds of frogs.
Okay, well, we'll start out talking about the African clawed frog. When you get them, they're fairly small, often in a store, if you buy a young one. You can keep it in maybe a 2-gallon aquarium for a short while, but you want to graduate up to a larger tank. I would say at least a 10-gallon aquarium. Preferable, a 20-gallon. I currently have one in a 20-gallon right now, and I think you could safely house several of them in a 20-gallon together, probably 2 to 3 in one 20-gallon tank.
Now, since they are fully aquatic, they don't need to crawl up on something. Does it matter if it's a 20 high or a 20 long?
Well, 20 long will give them more effective, usable space.
Okay,
just because
more
it,
length
you know, there's,
to swim along. And
yeah, there's more of a footprint, more surface area on the bottom. So that will be better, but you could use a 20 high. Probably either one. I would recommend, as many frog keepers do, this species of frog anyway, that you not fill the aquarium all the way to the top. Keep the water several inches from the top to help prevent escapes.
So they don't jump out.
Right, so they don't jump out, and because the frog will also be more comfortable if it doesn't have to swim a long distance up to the surface of the water.
Because they do still swim up to take breaths.
Yes.
To breathe.
Certainly there will be some gas exchange occurring between the frog's skin and the water, but most of its respiration seems to happen just by breathing with lungs as other frogs do, and so they do need to come to the surface.
Okay.
Yes. So if you, a 20-gallon long, it's fairly shallow, you could probably fill it somewhere between half and three quarters of the way full, and that would still give you a little bit of safe space to prevent the frog from jumping out. Of course, you do want to use a cover, a glass cover like those used for an aquarium that keeps fish is a good cover.
Speaking of covers, do they need lighting specifically in there, or is that mainly just so you can see them?
Yeah, lighting is up to you, whatever you need to be able to see them effectively. Of course, if you want to grow live plants in there, you'll want some decent lighting of some sort. But yeah, they don't really care. They'd be just as fine with ambient light.
Okay.
That does bring the issue of plants to mind, though. You can keep a few plants with African clawed frogs. Most of them you can't. They're just too boisterous and they swim too fast. They have those sharp little claws on their toes. Yeah, they'll rip up a lot of plants. And uproot others. And the best plants to use are things like Anubias. You can probably get away with Java moss. Maybe some Java fern. That's probably about it. They're really kind of tough on plants, but Anubias works great. And that does bring something else to mind. That would be the substrate in the aquarium. I know some people keep gravel in with their frogs or sand, things like that, but it has been known to happen that they will ingest particles of whatever substrate you have in there, and especially if it's sharp, but even if it's not, that could result in some problems in their digestive system, could possibly result in their death. So I've avoided using any kind of gravel or sand as a substrate. The idea with sand is that it's small enough that they'll be able to pass it.
It's probably not still very comfortable.
Not all that comfortable. And I do know there are reports of people having frogs pass large pieces of gravel, but that just can't be that fun
for
them.
Why risk it anyways?
Potentially dangerous. Yeah, so you can either use like river pebbles that are just
too big to swallow,
and you can, or you can just not use a substrate in there. And in my setups with African clawed frogs, I've never really had a substrate, but you can put some other fun things in there. They do like places to hide. A little refuge is good. So in my setup right now, I have some terracotta pots with holes knocked in into the sides and so on, and the edges kind of smoothed off, which you can do with a rock or something. Once you break it, you can smooth that down, or sandpaper works too, different things. I have several of those in there. I have half a coconut shell that had been boiled and everything and cleaned out, and got one of those. I've got a piece of driftwood, things like that.
So things that just make it interesting for them to go and explore.
Yeah, it's nice for them to explore and to be able to hide when it's, you know, too bright for them, or when they feel threatened or whatever, just for fun. And the frog that I have now just really likes to hang around in those places, although he definitely comes out when it's time for feeding. But it's good to have some hiding places, and like I said, I do grow some Anubias and some Java fern, or not Java fern, Java moss in there. And that's good for water quality. It's good for fun. Just it looks nice. They have some live plants in there, and it helps keep the water cleaner. So it's a fun thing to do. Let's see. Filtration is a big issue that people ask about. It's controversial, basically, with African clawed frogs, because they say since African clawed frogs have a lateral line, which is an organ that's, of course, sensitive to water flow and water current and vibrations in the water and so on, that filtration has got to be painful for them because of the constant vibrations
like
in the
water.
Like
standing in a strong wind all the time.
Something like that. And here's my take on the situation. Fish have a lateral line. We don't let it worry us with fish. We have filtration in aquariums with fish in them all the time, so why should that even be an issue? I don't know. Maybe it is. I'm not going to say that I know for sure what the all the ramifications are, but I have kept these frogs with filtration and without. I think filtration does not seem to affect them. That's my personal opinion.
Have you noticed an advantage?
Yes. The water is easier to keep clean. So
you can see them better.
Yeah. Now, you can get certain kinds of filters that are very quiet. There's a particular brand that is advertised. It touts itself as being acoustically sealed, and it is very, very quiet.
So it disturbs the water less, too?
Disturbs the water less, but you essentially don't hear it, and I don't know if the frogs even notice. They don't seem to notice even other ones that I've used. But I've used a couple of different kinds of filters and never had an issue. They seem to be fine. They thrive with and without filtration. It's just easier to take care of them with filtration. So I say, go for it. That's my personal opinion. Let's see, anything else about that? Don't really need heating. That's about it for housing for the African clawed frog, unless you can think of anything.
Okay, no, how about the dwarf frogs?
Dwarf frogs? Well, like I mentioned before, they do need heating. You need to keep them somewhere in the approximately mid-70s for their optimum health. There are some people who do keep them at room temperature, and I think as long as your room temperature doesn't fluctuate too much and it is in the 70s, you'll probably be okay. But they're just a little bit more sensitive as far as that goes. So just be careful. Gravel as a substrate with these frogs does not seem to be as much of an issue for whatever reason. I think it partly has to do with the size of their mouths. They do have smaller mouths.
So they just can't eat it as much.
And maybe they don't eat it as much, or maybe they're a little bit more discriminating about what they eat. Whatever it is, I haven't had a problem with various sizes of gravel in the aquarium with the frogs. and they don't seem to have any digestive issues. Maybe I'm just lucky, I don't know. But one thing is that you can keep them with plants. They don't disturb plants at all. So just about any plants in the aquarium will be fine. They do like hiding places as well, but if you have plenty of plants in there, you don't really need, you know, flower pots or PVC caves or anything like that, because they'll just be, they'll be fine with plants.
Okay.
And they do need a cover, just like the other ones.
The filter.
Filter is fine with them.
Same kind of issues.
Yeah, I haven't noticed any problems. Although you can keep them without a filter as well, and that doesn't seem to be a big deal either. Just.
So the main difference is the gravel and the plants and the heating.
Right, gravel and plants and heating are the main differences. I would say for two African dwarf frogs, at least around 5 gallons is good. 10 gallons would be fine. You could probably keep up to about half a dozen African dwarf frogs in a 10-gallon tank without any problems. Yeah, and that's, I think that's about it for housing.
Okay, great.
Of course, both species of frogs need regular partial water changes. African clawed frogs are larger and messier eaters, produce more waste, so they'll need those more. Rule of thumb, you know, probably twice a week, maybe 30 or 40% water changes, depending on your setup and how many frogs you have and so on. African dwarf frogs, maybe more like 20%, because they're just not as messy, but they both need regular partial water changes. Filtration does decrease the need to about that much. If you don't have any filtration, then you'll need more water changes, especially for the African clawed frogs. I tend to change about 90% of the water every day if there's no filtration, because they are pretty messy otherwise.
Tell us about their different feeding habits.
Okay. Well, African clawed frogs are pretty excited about eating, and will eat just about anything they can fit into their mouths, and a few things that you'd be surprised at. You know, they might try or even succeed in fitting something in their mouth that's just about as big as they are. So you have to be careful with that. But they are among the few frogs, both of these species of frogs, in fact, are among the few that will eat non-living, non-moving food. So that makes it a lot easier to feed them, because you don't need live food, and many species of frogs and toads don't even recognize food unless it's moving. But these will take just about anything. They will eat things like flake fish food, although I don't recommend that as a dietary staple, but they will eat it on occasion. One of the easiest things to use is just a pelleted diet that is produced for use with turtles, frogs, and newts. There are several of them out there on the market, and I tend to prefer the floating variety, at least for the African clawed frog. They seem to prefer it too, at least in my experience. And when they're young, you can get the calcium-enriched variety for like baby turtles and baby frogs and so on. That's good for them to help make sure their skeleton develops properly. As they get older, you can switch to the adult version, a little different. But basically, they'll live and thrive if you just give them that. But I think it's more interesting for them, and probably healthier too, to give them some treats.
What kinds of things do they like for treats?
Some things that I've given them when they're young, you can give the African clawed frogs grindle worms. And when they get a little older, you can give them earthworms or red worms, if you have a culture of those going. They will take live fish. Some that can be controversial. Some people will say that can be dangerous for them and maybe difficult to digest, but they'll eat them. And I have done that in the past.
So don't keep them in your tank with other small fish. Right,
right. They'll eat that. They'll eat crickets or, you know, mealworms and all kinds of things.
Just basically whatever they find and can get in their mouths.
Yeah, if you get frozen bloodworms or anything like that, thaw those out, they'll eat those. Frozen seafood, different things like that. All kinds of things. If you stick to a nice balanced food with calcium supplementation for a staple, and just vary it with different types of meaty foods, live and or frozen or whatever, freeze dried, they'll be happy with that. They'll do really well.
Okay, great. What about the dwarf frogs? What do they eat?
Dwarf frogs will eat a lot of the same foods. They just have to be smaller.
Okay.
So the pelleted diets, they'll do fine on those as long as they're in appropriately sized pieces. You might have to break up some of them, some of the larger pellets into smaller pieces, but they'll eat those too. Now this, but basically, essentially the same foods, just smaller pieces.
Okay.
One issue, this brings us kind of to tank mates. An African frog, an African clawed frog, will not tolerate very many tank mates from the standpoint of the tank mates' long-term survival. They'll tend to eat just about anything, as I mentioned before, including tank mates.
Other frogs, too?
Yep. If the frogs are small enough, they will.
So only keep them together if they're about the same size.
Right. You don't want to put a baby frog in with an adult frog, or you will end up with a happy, fat adult frog. And that's about it. So that's a warning there as far as tank mates go. There are a few things that'll do all right with them. Some people manage to keep certain types of fish with them, but I don't know.
Is it basically as long as the fish is bigger than the frog?
If the fish is bigger than the frog, it probably can't eat it, but that may not last because they do grow, so you have to, you know, if you put it in with a small frog, it may not eat it, but as soon as the frog gets big enough, it's going to try. If the fish is big enough so that it will never get, it will never end up being smaller than the frog, that's a possibility, but, you know, then the frog might be in danger.
This fish might pick on the frog.
Yeah, the fish might pick on the frog. And there are people who manage to keep them with, you know, goldfish or plecostomus or different things for years and years without difficulties. But I don't know if it's the best thing. Mystery snails are one of the things that will probably do all right with them, because an adult mystery snail is too big for an African clawed frog to eat. Probably not very palatable with the shell and everything. Probably.
But the snail obviously isn't going to be eating the frog.
Snail's not
going to
be attacking the frog, so you're okay there. I do have a mystery snail with my African frog, my African clawed frog, for the first time. I've never done that before, but I've decided to try that. It seems to be working okay. I do have some shrimp, some algae-eating shrimp, the wild color variety of the red cherry shrimp with my African clawed frog right now. I don't expect that to last very long, but since I have plenty of shrimp, because they're always breeding in my other tanks, I don't see that as too much of a difficulty. But for the time being, when he's young, and with enough hiding places in the tank, some of them might survive long enough to, you know, reproduce and so on, and maybe not. That remains to be seen. Never tried that before either, but I figured either he's getting a snack or they'll stay in the tank and help keep, you know, algae and so on down. So yeah. It was worth a try. I don't know how long
that's going
to go.
Keep him interested anyways. Give him something to do. Hunt yeah. down baby shrimp.
Yeah, and most likely that's what they're going to be. They're going to be a snack eventually. But like I said, I have plenty of them, so it's not too big of a deal. And they're not going to hurt him. African dwarf frogs are a different story. Now, the main issue here is not what tank mates they will eat, or what tank mates will eat them, although that can be an issue too with fish that are large enough to eat them. Basically, you follow the same rule that you do with fish. Don't keep anything with something that has a mouth large enough to eat it, because it probably will. So if you keep your African dwarf frogs with baby guppies, yes, they will eat your baby guppies. If you keep your African dwarf frogs with a big goldfish, yes, your goldfish will probably get to the point where it will eat your African dwarf frogs. So watch out for that. But that's another issue. The main problem is keeping them with things that are compatible as far as size is concerned, so they won't eat each other, but finding something that won't eat their food.
African won't outcompete them, basically.
Right. African clawed frogs are quite aggressive when it comes to feeding. African dwarf frogs, on the other hand, are just kind of dozy about it. They're very relaxed about feeding time. You put some food in there, and they just start wandering around the tank, hoping that they'll randomly bump into whatever it is they smell in the water. And they will strike at things that get close to their face, that, you know, glass, gravel, plants, whatever, fish.
May or may not be food.
Frog, other frogs, yeah. They'll strike at it, and often enough it happens to be food, and they'll eat it, and that's great. But the problem is, they're so leisurely about it, that if you keep something like guppies with them, by the time they get around to eating the food, the guppies have eaten it all.
Okay.
So you do have to watch for that. Right now, I have two African dwarf frogs in with one female betta, a mystery snail, and some shrimp, and some Java moss, Java fern, and Anubias in a 5-gallon aquarium. And I have to watch very carefully when I'm feeding them to make sure that the African dwarf frogs get enough, because the mystery snail will get there before they do half the time.
Wow.
I mean, you have to be really careful to make sure that they get enough.
Just not very adept at the whole eating thing.
No, so really, unless you're able to sit there and watch them make sure that they do eat enough food, you really ought to keep them by themselves. Nothing that's going to compete with them for food, because they're just really not very good at it.
Makes you wonder how they survive in the wild.
Yeah, in the wild things are probably quite a bit different, but that's just something to think about.
Okay, as far as reproduction goes, how easy is it to breed these frogs, or not easy, or, you know, what's the process?
Well, I've never actually set out to breed these frogs, but I have had some reproductive activity going on. I kept a pair of African clawed frogs together for a number of years, some time ago, and they would mate. The mating embrace is called amplexus, for those of you who are not familiar with amphibian reproduction, where the male in both species of frogs, there's a type of amplexus where the male grasps the female around the hips, basically. And they'll remain like that for some time and eventually release eggs and sperm and so on. Now, I never attempted to collect eggs or anything like that, but you could. I mean, if you leave them in the tank, of course, they're going to get eaten. If you take them out, you can try to hatch them. But the males do sing to attract the females, and the females respond with a song as well. It's a bit different, and you can look that up.
So if you have a pair, it's actually a very pretty song just to have going in the house.
Yeah, it's really nice. You actually don't need a pair, though. A male will sing. Yeah, if you have a male, it'll sing for you, likely enough. The way to distinguish a male from a female, at least in the normal color morphs.
This is in the clawed frogs.
And this is in the African clawed frogs, yes. Is that the inner areas of the forearms have kind of a black streak along that inside, and that's indicative of a male. That's probably the easiest way to tell. And that's only in a mostly mature to completely mature frog. So you may not know if you get a young one, or if you get an albino, you can't really tell, because it lacks those streaks. But that's one good way to tell. Anyway, the singing is kind of fun, and if you do get eggs and you decide to try to raise them, you can keep them in clean water, and when they hatch, they need very small suspended particles in the water, like green water. Some people use yeast. You can use some of the liquid fry foods available and so on. But it needs to be a very small amount, and you need to keep the water clean. So a very small amount of food for them, and then they will not scrape things off surfaces or take flake fish food or anything unless it's ground very fine. It has to be suspended in the water, and you can read more about that online. There are several good websites that document that. But I have raised several tadpoles and watched them through metamorphosis, and that's fun to do. And so if you want to find out more about that, you can just check out some of the resources online, because the purpose of this podcast is not really to sell how to breed them, but give you a little information on that if you want.
And if anybody has any questions about anything, they can always email and ask us.
Yep, info@aquarimax.com.
And we can talk about your questions on the show.
Yep. And I guess we need to talk about breeding the African dwarf frogs now a little bit. Now, my pair of African dwarf frogs mate all the time. I mean, it's ridiculous. Half the time I look in the tank and they're mating. It's happening all the time. And I didn't choose a pair on purpose, but that's what I got, obviously. Now, the way to tell them apart is a little bit different. The male, behind his armpit, basically has a little nodule. This little kind of whitish nodule back there. And it's some sort of gland, and that indicates that it's a male. Also, the cloacal region, the frog's rear end, in the female, there's kind of a little extension, cloacal extension there that looks a little bit different from the male's. It's kind of hard to tell which one it is until you've looked at both and seen it, but that little nodule behind the male's arm is a little easier to see. And that, of course, only works for mature frogs. Most frogs in the pet store are not mature. But some of these will sing a lot, too. Some of the African dwarf frogs will sing. I haven't really noticed mine singing, but boy, they're mating all the time.
They're busy.
Yeah. And I have seen eggs on several occasions in the tank. I haven't made any particular effort to save them most of the time.
Because, again, they'll eat the eggs.
They will
still
eat the eggs.
In the tank.
Yes, and I've kept them, when I kept them alone, which I did for a while, one time I looked in there and saw several tadpoles. And so I removed about half a dozen tadpoles to see if I could save them. But not having made provision for this beforehand, not planning to breed them, I didn't really have the right facilities for it. And you can read a little bit more about that, but these tadpoles are unusual. Not only are their parents unusual in their feeding habits in that they will eat non-living, non-moving food, but the tadpoles are also unusual in that they will only eat moving, living food.
Hmm.
So it's kind of unusual. Most tadpoles will scrape algae off rocks and so on, but yeah, it does make it a little difficult. They will eat things like rotifers, infusoria, and brine shrimp, newly hatched brine shrimp, things like that. And I did get them to eat for a little while, and I'm not sure what happened, but after about a week, I lost them. But like I said, I didn't really have the facilities set up to try to raise them, so it was just to see what I could do with the limited warning I had. But they do apparently you can succeed breeding them with a little bit of with live brine shrimp as a staple until they get a bit older and so on. So that's something you might try if that interests you. And last of all, I'd like to talk a little bit about their personality. This relates to who would like to keep this type of frog and so on. The African dwarf frogs are fun. They're interesting. They're certainly
very cute.
They're certainly cute, and they're an unusual sort of aquarium inhabitant. So if you're interested in that and you'd like to keep them perhaps in a planted aquarium, because they do really great in planted aquariums, they're kind of a fun thing to have. And they don't take too much space and so on. And you can keep them in a community tank with, of course, the caveat that you're going to have to be careful about making sure they get enough to eat. But their personality is kind of slow and leisurely and just sort of wander around, and that's fun. But if you want personality in the sense of interaction, an African clawed frog, it would be a better choice, because they're cute too, although in a different way, in sort of a robust, chubby sort of way. And they get larger, but they also recognize feeding time. They recognize that you're going to feed them and so on. They can be taught to do certain things because of that, and they seem to anticipate you feeding them, because when you'll get close to the tank, they'll actually shove their hands into their mouths as if they were eating and strike at the glass and so on,
mm-hmm.
which is fun. It doesn't take them long to figure things out. I just moved our juvenile African clawed frog from a small rearing tank to his larger permanent home of a 20-gallon long, and it only took him a few days to understand the corner. I habitually feed him in one corner. It only took him a couple of days to figure out where that corner was, and now whenever I stand by the tank, he darts over to the corner and gets really excited and starts leaping up partly out of the water and clapping his hands, is what it looks like, in anticipation of food. They'll eat from your fingers and so on, and so it's a lot of fun to feed them.
So a lot more interactive than the dwarf frogs.
Yeah, a lot more interactive. I've had the dwarf frogs that I have now probably had about a year, And they don't really seem all that interested when I come up next to the tank or anything and drop the food in there, and it takes them a while to figure out where it is. But this African clawed frog that we've had just slightly over 6 months is so into feeding time, and it's really fun to see him. He'll swim from all the way from the other side of the tank over to the spot when he's ready to eat. So they're fun. I also shine a little low brightness flashlight into the tank right before I feed him, and so now he's also conditioned to respond to that flashlight. When he sees that flashlight go, he's ready to eat. So it's a lot of fun. They're both fascinating critters. They're both fairly long-lived. The dwarf frogs don't live as long. I've heard reports of them living about 7 years or so, which isn't bad. It's longer than some fish. And the African clawed frogs, on the other hand, I've heard they can live 20 years or so, maybe more. And so it's a long-lived pet if you decide to go in for that. And I highly recommend both of them. It just depends on what you're looking for. But they're a lot of fun. Do you have any more comments or questions?
I think that's everything.
Okay, well, if you decide to delve into the world of aquatic frogs as pets, we wish you the best. And
And be sure to check out the resources page at aquarimax.com for links and other resources that you can use to find out more about African clawed frogs and African dwarf frogs.
Hope you have a lot of fun. I know I have.
And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and/or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.